hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. Man, we've got a great show in store for you today. We've got a recap of Week 10's most important games, and we'll preview Week 11's most important games. Plus, I have an interview with the Los Angeles Rams team reporter, Serena Morales. We're going to talk about the Rams' win over the Seahawks and so much more, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be exciting, and, you know, just can't wait. We've got a lot in store for you coming up on this week's edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. So many great games to preview in Week 11, and so many games that we're going to recap in Week 10. Starting about right now, we had a Thursday night showdown between the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. The Colts would go on to win 34-17. Tom Brady and the crew in Tampa came back, and they bounced back strong as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Carolina Panthers 46-23. An NFC East showdown between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants at the Meadowlands. The Giants hold on to beat the Eagles 27-17. The future is now in the NFL. Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. Great game it was, but you know what? I'm going to let the audio tell the story. Here's some audio from CBS with DeAndre Hopkins pulling off a miracle and getting the job done from his cohort, quarterback Kyler Murray. Check it out.
Shotgun. Murray out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray heaves it downfield.
That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. Kyler Murray with 7 seconds left in the game with the game-winning touchdown pass to his all-world wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. Great game out in the desert between the Bills and the Cardinals. Arizona would win 32-30. The Denver Broncos went up against the Las Vegas Raiders in another AFC West showdown. No competition right there. The Raiders handled their business, beating the Broncos 37-12. The San Francisco 49ers went up against the New Orleans Saints in a long rivalry. Slow start for the Saints. Drew Brees suffered an injury. We'll talk more about that in the top three storylines. But the Saints held on with touchdowns by Alvin Kamara and the Saints defense. Saints would go on to beat the Niners 27-13. Sunday night football matchup was between a good one up in Foxborough between the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots. The Patriots would go on to beat the Ravens, final score 23-17. And in Monday night football, an NFC North showdown between the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. Nick Foles suffered an injury with 37 seconds left in the game, suffered an injured hip pointer, but the Vikings handled their business with Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, and the solid defense. Vikings would go on to beat the Bears 19-13 in Monday Night Football. And those were the most important games from Week 10 in the National Football League. All right, now time for my top three storylines. I'm going to start off with the New Orleans Saints. As I mentioned earlier, the Saints beat the 49ers 27-13, but it was not without problems. Drew Brees, in the second quarter of the game, suffered a devastating injury. The exact injury was that he suffered 3 fractured ribs on his left side, 2 fractured ribs on his right side, and also a collapsed lung. Now, there's numerous sources, including ESPN's Adam Schefter and Ed Werder, have reported that there may be more multiple fractures as a result of the rib injury. Now, Drew, as well as the Saints, are currently seeking a second opinion, and they may seek a third opinion depending on how things go. Drew is determined to get out on the field. My advice is this. The Saints have been playing well. They've been one of the hottest teams in the league right now. It's best for them to put Drew on injured reserve. That's what I would do if they're a smart team. You know, Sean Payton is one of the great minds and going to be one of the greatest coaches of all time in NFL history. But if I was Sean Payton and if I was Mickey Loomis and if I was Gale Benson or even more, if I was Drew Brees, I would like, you know what, I'm going to shut it down for the rest of the season. Put me on injured reserve and get me ready for the playoff run. They've got Jameis Winston, who was the league's leading passer last year. Yes, he led the league in throwing interceptions, but he was the league's leading passer last year. So Jameis is talented. This could be an audition for Jameis Winston if he doesn't come back to New Orleans next year. This could be an audition for Jameis' next destination. And this is also an audition for Taysom Hill. Whenever Drew Brees decides to hang it up, this could be the next 3-4 or however long Drew Brees is going to be out. This could be the litmus test for Taysom Hill to prove to Sean Payton and the Who Dat Nation that he can become the franchise quarterback whenever Drew Brees hangs it up. Aside from the Brees injury, the Saints played well defensively, going up against a team like the 49ers that have been horrible this year. Too many injuries. The Saints took advantage of it. They certainly, they're on top of the NFC South right now, and they're one of the hottest teams in the league. But this Drew Brees situation is something that's going to be interesting as we're knee deep into the second half of the NFL season. Stay tuned for that. My next storyline is going to be the Miami Dolphins. Who would have thought the Miami Dolphins would be right behind the Buffalo Bills to getting close to first place in the AFC East? I would have never imagined it, even with Tua Tagovailoa being the starting quarterback. But since head coach Brian Flores, who, by the way, is my candidate to win the head coach of the year, Coach Flores has done an amazing job when Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback. And when he benched Fitzmagic, a lot of people, including myself, were concerned. I was like, well, he must see something that we don't see, because – and of course, a lot of Dolphins fans were perplexed, because when Fitzmagic was in there, the team was winning. But when Tua gets in there, they played so even better with Tua being in the lineup. The defense is solid. They've got a nice running game. The receivers are adapting well to Tua. Plus, Tua's athletic ability extends plays. So it's nice to see Miami winning again. The Dolphins haven't been a winning team for quite some time, really since the Dan Marino era. So it's always refreshing to see Tua and really just the whole Dolphin fan base. When the pandemic is over with, that city is going to be rocking again. And that fan base in Miami is definitely hungry, and they've been waiting not just for a consecutive winning seasons, but more importantly, they've been waiting for the quarterback that can take the reins from the Dan Marino era. So certainly it's something we're going to watch out for. And it's nice to see Miami winning. They haven't really been consistently winning in quite some time. So it's good to see the Dolphins winning. Stay tuned the rest of the way. And for my final storyline, the NFC West. Arizona playing some great ball. Kyler Murray, you got to put him in the talk for the MVP race. The Seattle Seahawks, they haven't been winning lately. But don't count them out. Russell Wilson is still an MVP candidate, and he's going to find a way to make it happen against the team that they're going to play in tonight's matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. The 49ers decimated with injuries this year. However, you still cannot let your guard down going up against San Francisco. But there's a team that people have disrespected this year. There's a team that people haven't been paying attention to until recent. That is the Los Angeles Rams. Head coach Sean McVay, we know what his pedigree is when it comes to offense. Jared Goff has been effective. The running game has been solid. The receivers are playing great. We know what they bring to the table defensively with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and a host of other talent on that defense. I have an interview coming up next with the Rams team reporter, Serena Morales. But the NFC West is exciting. Cardinals, Seahawks, 49ers, and the Rams. It's just from top to bottom. The talent is limitless. It's exciting. It's great to watch. All of these teams are great to watch. Even the 49ers are pretty good to watch, despite with the injuries that they have this year. Seattle, they have an MVP candidate with Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray is an MVP candidate and only his second year in the league. And the Rams are playing well right now with a solid pass offense, a good running game, and a defense that's one of the best in the league. And definitely NFC West, the best division in the league, in the NFL right now. So definitely some great times to be had in the NFC West. All right, that concludes segment number one. When we come back from the break, I have an interview with the Los Angeles Rams team reporter, Serena Morales. I'm Ed Robinson. Thank you so much for listening. And you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100.
and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support and more. This week, select Mucinex and Delsym cold relief products are $15.99. Visit CVS or CVS.com today. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details.
When you need an extra hand with dinner, just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot, and Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology will fill it with the perfect amount of water. Visit DeltaFaucet.com/voiceIQ to discover more.
CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support and more. This week, select Mucinex and Delsym cold relief products are $15.99. Visit CVS or CVS.com today. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details.
Start running.
This show is brought to you by Quibbits. Looking for an incredible way to save big this holiday season on Apple AirPods, Samsung HD TVs, Keurig coffee makers, gift cards, and so much more? Then check out Quibids.com, a revolutionary online auction site where you can save up to 95% off on your favorite smart devices, electronics, kitchen appliances, and more. So stop paying retail today. That's Quibids.com. Visit Quibids now.
Those combination coverages like that, sometimes you board a zone like they just did.
Here's a bobble on the toss by Collins, and he lost a yard.
I know that McVay, like most people, when they bring the blitz, hey, we've got to be able to take advantage of that. Instead, they've had too many bad plays.
Wilson steps up, throws, end zone, picked off, intercepted by Wilson. Gonna run, could have gotten rid of it, but decided to tuck it, brought down immediately by Lewis, no gain, and the Seahawks have to call a timeout. Quick setup and throw on the pass, incomplete for on first 10, and no cooking here. Just get it away on third down. Wilson, a long way to go, and down he goes. Seahawks 0 for 5 on their last attempts on third down, and this ball was on the ground and recovered by Floyd.
This defense has really held up, and they've been especially tough in the fourth quarters this year.
Here is Wilson trying to duck down, and he ducks right into a sack by Terrell Lewis. Wilson throws, and the pass is picked. That's another one for Darius Williams.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports. That was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman with the call. And, yes, the audio that you heard was the Los Angeles Rams defense stopping Russell Wilson and that Seahawk offense in Week 10 of this 2020 NFL season. We're going to talk a little bit about that game, the Rams' next opponent, and so much more with the team reporter from the Los Angeles Rams. Let's welcome her back to the program, Serena Morales. Hello, Serena. How's everything?
Hey, how are you doing, Ed?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So this past Sunday, the Los Angeles Rams took down a division rival, the Seattle Seahawks. Serena, give me, in your opinion, the highlights and the lowlights from this contest.
Honestly, I mean, I think it really just solidified how good the defense is, right? You brought it into the show with it. You can't ignore the fact that it doesn't have to be the Aaron Donald and the Jalen Ramsey to hold this defense together. Now, obviously, even though Aaron Donald, and I put in air quotes, had a quiet game, it's because of his dominance. It's because teams always have to prepare for him that it opens up the game for other people. Same with Jalen. And I mean, it's so funny. He even joked, I think he had a PFF rating that was like 50 something, but he kept DJ Metcalf to like 2 receptions. I mean, he was quiet and no one keeps Metcalf quiet. So when you think about, it's not just the Jalens and the Aaron Donalds, although those two in a great way affect the game, even though it doesn't necessarily spark the way a Leonard Floyd did in this game with 3 sacks, or a Michael Brockers, or a Darius Williams with 2 interceptions in 1 game. He almost had 3. It is just an entire group that's working really well together, led by, you know, new defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, who just kind of has added an extra spark to this defense. So overall, I would say that it was a huge highlight. I also think, you know, a lot of people coming into this game were like, well, the Rams are probably going to just throw the ball, because when you look at the Seattle Seahawks defense overall, they're last in total defense. They allow a lot of points. And so why wouldn't you just throw on them with, you know, a questionable secondary? But they didn't. What the Rams did was they stuck to their game plan all season long. They've been doing their best to try and execute a balanced run and pass game. So, yes, Jared Goff threw for over 300 yards, but they also ran the ball for over 100 yards. And that summed up with 3 running backs, pretty balanced time spread, which kept them rested, obviously, with Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown. You had all 3 out there for 106 yards combined and 3 rushing touchdowns. So I would say overall, those are the big wins. I think, you know, special teams needs to figure out what's going to happen with the kicking situation. But right now they have Austin McGinnis, who will get some reps this week, given that Kai Forbath hurt his foot in the Seahawks game. So there are questions there, I would say, with special teams, and Sean McVay knows how important that is for the overall success of the team. But I think when you look overall, the Rams are 6-3, and they just beat one of the best teams in the NFL.
Well, right. Well put, Serena. We're going to talk more about the NFC West in a bit, but let's get to the Rams offense for a moment. You mentioned we know what Jared Goff is capable of doing. We're going to talk about him a little bit later, but the running game was very balanced. Really, the running game has really been balanced so far all season for the Rams. Cam Akers, Malcolm Brown, and Darrell Henderson, he has come out of nowhere this year, and in his 2020 campaign has put up some solid numbers for the Rams offense. We know that the Rams, we know about Jared Goff and that high-octane passing game that they have. Now, granted, Todd Gurley is in Atlanta now, so with Cam, Malcolm, and Darrell handling their business in the running game, were you a little reluctant at first to how the Rams would approach their running game with Todd being everything, or were you confident that they would pick up the slack with Todd leaving and going to Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a question for those looking in, like, how could you get rid of Todd Gurley and you know, depend on some guys who don't really have big names? But when you think about who Sean McVay is as a leader and as the head coach of the Rams, he everywhere plastered over the hallways is this motto, we, not me. He is all about, we have to work together as a team. And so when you look at the success of this run game and it being spread out between 3 running backs, it actually is not so surprising with the fact that, hey, we don't need to depend on just one guy because he's a big name. We can spread the ball around and we can all be successful. That's how he works with the wideouts. I mean, when you have last season, it was Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. You had 3 huge names at wideouts. And then Josh Reynolds would step in when someone got dinged up for a game or two, and he was seamlessly there making plays as well. So, you know, it's never about when you look at Robert Woods and his last game. I mean, he was a running back. He was a tight end. I mean, he was blocking. He's one of the most unselfish players in this league, as well as Cooper Kupp. So when you think about how he's always worked, you know, in previous seasons with that 11 personnel, having three wideouts out there, and now you think about, oh, wow, we also have three very unselfish running backs. When everyone's kind of clicking as a team, it's not really a surprise that, okay, there's no Todd Gurley, but we have these other guys that may work. Sean McVay was so high on drafting Daryl Henderson because he can do so many different things. He can run the ball. He has good hands as a running back, and he pushes his body through. So, yeah, I mean, when you have Daryl Henderson, who had a hamstring injury towards the beginning of this season, Cam Akers come in, you know, again, I know Sean McVay was very high in getting Cam Akers. He's proven himself at Florida State, you know, with their dinged up O-line in the past. And you've got Malcolm Brown, who's played behind Todd Gurley all these years, who is, again, a very team player, a leader to this group. Overall, I'm not actually surprised that this team is doing as well as they are without Todd Gurley.
Rightfully so. And then you mentioned about the receiving core. Again, Brandon Cooks was a high impact for the Rams last year. He's no longer a member of the Rams, but man, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods could be one of the most underrated receiving combinations in the league. And then when you add Josh Reynolds, and also you got two talented tight ends with Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. What's the approach with the receivers and the tight ends coming into this season?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think everyone is just like, what can I do to help? And I think that's been the best approach. If it's a Tyler Higbee day and he's hot, then they're going to find him. I mean, Tyler Higbee had an amazing reception. It was like 39 yards downfield. He almost had two, just missed it. But I think he even tipped the ball with his hands. But, you know, if it's not Tyler Higbee and it's Gerald Everett who has a big game, then, you know, the team is happy for him. And again, when it comes down to now, you know, you got Van Jefferson into the mix out of Florida, who's a rookie, who's just waiting for his time. But the way that this Rams team has drafted players, I mean, the secondaries, like the Terrell Burgess and the Terrell Lewis's and, you know, all of the safeties, actually, all the defensive players that they have, like Jordan Fuller, all of them as a whole have really been humbled. They just want to work hard. They're putting their head down. And that obviously comes from the top leadership with Jared Goff and Andrew Whitworth and Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald really does set the tone of like, I will be the hardest working person here and I don't need to be. So if I'm doing the hard work, you better keep up with me. And I think that's been the approach, especially with, you know, the wideouts and the tight ends. It's whoever's hot handed and whoever's working, we're going to keep them going and we're going to support them.
Indeed, those guys, those leaders, they do work hard. And speaking of working hard, one of the offensive line position is considered to be the anchor of the team, a position that is all about hard work and tenacity and providing the comfort for the quarterback and the backs and the receivers as well. Andrew Whitworth, one of the most respected offensive linemen and one of the most respected players in the league, suffered a knee injury. It's not season ending, but he suffered a grade 3 MCL and PCL injury. He's going to be out for quite some time. Serena, just tell the audience out there just more about Andrew's injury, the time he's going to be out, and what's his status going forward.
Yeah, so thankfully, right now, there's no surgery needed for Whitworth. However, yeah, I mean, when he went down and he didn't get back up, there was definitely, like, the air left the room. I mean, this, you can't say enough about what Andrew Whitworth is to this team on and off the field. I remember back when they made their Super Bowl run in 2018, and we got off the bus back from Atlanta, you know, the quiet bus ride. We got off, and I remember guys, you know, got their cars, went home. And Andrew Whitworth put on some sweatpants, if he wasn't wearing them already, and started working out. I think he went for a long jog around the field and the facility, and he worked out. So if anyone's going to come back from this, it would be Andrew Whitworth. He already has a plan in place, a complete plan in place. He's already figuring out how he can help the team in other ways. Joe Noboom will fill in for left tackle for Andrew Whitworth for the foreseeable future. But right now, thankfully, there is no surgery needed. And I think if anyone's going to come back from this, much like the way that Cooper Kupp came back from injury and you were sort of worried about him, I mean, he looks better than ever, right? You couldn't even tell that he was out with his own injury last season. So I think if anyone is going to come back, it will and it can be Andrew Whitworth. But, yeah, his leadership, his overall way of carrying himself around this facility, the way that he is close to Jared Goff and has definitely set a tone around the facility of the we, not me mentality, it was a tough loss to see Whit go down.
Yeah, indeed, it was tough. But like you said, if anybody could bounce back from this, it would be Andrew Whitworth. And he's definitely going to be stronger from this one, as hopefully he'll help the Rams in the playoff run. All right. Now, we know you mentioned earlier, Serena, about the defense. And, of course, we know about Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. You know, we know their talent is through the roof. But lately there have been some other key components on the defense that have played very well, such as Leonard Floyd, who had some great seasons with the Bears. He's come on strong as of late. Of course, Michael Brockers, and there's also Samson Ebukam. Can you just give me your take on the Rams' defense, how they played thus far into this season?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Like, you remember Dante Fowler was sort of opposite Aaron Donald on that D-line the previous few seasons, and you saw Dante Fowler have incredible success because, again, when you have an Aaron Donald or when you have a Jalen Ramsey and you have both of them on your defense, you have to prepare for them, and you have to overly prepare for them. You're going to get double, triple team if you're Aaron Donald. Well, what does that do? That opens up a lot of space for a guy like a Dante Fowler in the past and now a Leonard Floyd here to make those tackles, to get those sacks. And again, it opens up space for a Brockers to have a sack in a game like that. So I think, yeah, and when you, again, Jalen Ramsey said it, if you're not going to come to me, what's the best thing in the world is that you're going to go to a Darius Williams and he's going to get the ball too. So I think it just shows like the depth of this defense, the support, and I would say confidence that the Jalen Ramseys and the Aaron Donalds have in their teammates that, hey, I don't have to be the person that's making the big plays. I'm happy to carry the load. If they're not going to target me and they go to you and you pick up the slack, then I'm all for it. So it's huge. I mean, Darius Williams, it's funny enough, he's a quiet DB, which you don't hear very often, but it's really great that he's making noise in the NFL right now. And Jalen Ramsey said post game after the Seahawks win, you know, we got to start getting Darius Williams' name. He calls him D Will. Got to get D Will more of a household name in this league. So we're trying to do that. I mean, he's doing what he can on the field to make himself a household name and hopefully a Pro Bowler this coming season.
Yeah, you definitely. So Darius, really, I guess you could say this was his breakout game against Seattle. He picked up two interceptions in that game. So speaking of a household name, Jared Goff has become a household name the last several years. He's been in the league since 2016, and he's really improved, and he's upped his game every year. He's a two-time Pro Bowler, and he's been solid this year. He could be on, he's on pace for another 4,000-plus yard season. What has been Jared's mindset coming into this season? Because we know the NFL is a quarterback's league with Mahomes and Wilson and Breeze and Rodgers and Roethlisberger. But what's been his mindset coming into this season?
He's all about consistency. He's all about just like, how can I continue to build off of what I did last season? And I think for him, becoming more of a leader, becoming more of, I don't have to lean on, I can make decisions in no huddle situations. I can get the trust of my receivers. I can, again, consistently throw the ball and make good decisions. I mean, for the most part, it's actually more growth, I think, of Jared in being calm, cool, collected, and continuing to learn from Sean McVay. I think he has a lot more support now with new offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell. Still, Shane Waldron is there to support him. He has a lot more support, which, again, is showing the success of, hey, we can mix up the run game a little bit more. We can utilize our tight ends a little differently. We don't have to run necessarily 11 personnel all the time because we have all these other working pieces. So I just think overall, Jared Goff is way more supported. And I think, as you know, in just general terms, when people have more support, they usually do better. And that is definitely the case for Jared Goff. And this O-line, you know, when you think of last season and maybe the lack of production that was an un-Jared Goff year, the O-line was dinged up. I mean, I think the only player that was there consistently was Andrew Whitworth. And so the good and the bad from that was Jerry, you know, obviously was pressured a lot more because there wasn't that, you know, consistency with those guys up front and protecting him. But two, when you threw in a bunch of different players to get different experience and to move in, now you've got a year under your belt, a year of NFL experience, and now you see a more cohesive offensive line that's protecting Jared. So, again, going into last season where kind of a dinged up O-line, Jared, I definitely think, learned from that experience, took a positive from it, just like, hey, I've got to be better anyway. Can't blame it on the O-line, can't blame it on anybody but myself, taking ownership over that. But then moving forward, the O-line is way more consistent. Joe Noteboom has proven himself because of last season. So he's going to go right in there at left tackle and fill in. I think overall it's great to have depth now at the O-line to continue to support Jared Goff and what this offense can really do.
You're right about that, and we're seeing the consistency thus far in Jared's play this year, and he's definitely not only had the offensive line healthy for the most part, but also his running game has bailed him out as well. Now, in the NFC, Serena, as this interview is airing, we've got Arizona, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Those are the top teams record-wise in the NFC. The Rams, I kind of want to say that the Rams right now are kind of like the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFC. No one has really showed them any respect, particularly in the NFC West. Everybody's paid attention to Arizona. Everybody's paid attention to Seattle. And even people have paid attention to San Francisco because they're the defending NFC champions. Why haven't the Rams received any respect so far this year?
I think there's, you know, a couple reasons, and I think there's definitely more respect after beating the Seahawks. They've just had some ups and downs. I think they definitely deserved more respect after showing what they did against the Chicago Bears. But then having that tough loss before the bye, I mean, it was more of like, oh, we had it. And so you kind of experience these highs and lows that maybe, you know, in the 2018 Super Bowl run, it was more of like, wow, they're 8-0 right now. Don't mess with them, right? And I think that's how the Seahawks were looked at early on in the season. But the Seahawks had a bunch of close games, and so did the Rams. And so I think this is anyone's year, really, when it comes down to it. There's a lot of competition, even especially with all of the COVID protocols, even more so wins mean a lot. And if you're starting off hot, then people are going to look at you. But I think the Rams, after this win against the Seahawks, I think, you know, again, the Dolphins' loss was sort of like, hey, wait a minute, weren't we supposed to win that game? We played against a rookie quarterback. I think the defense did a great job in that game again. But, you know, the Rams had to do better on offense and protect the ball. And you saw that Jared did that against the Seahawks. And so I think that now is the time where you've got a very tough stretch ahead. Tampa's defense is very strong. They've proven themselves. And obviously when you're playing against Tom Brady, you never close your eyes. You're always prepared for that. And they've got a tough stretch. They've got divisional games up the wazoo. They still have to play the Seahawks again. They still have to play the 49ers again. And they still have to play Arizona twice. So really tough stretch moving forward. But I think, you know, if they can stick to their guns, stick to their game plan, you know, balanced offense with a run and pass game, the defense keeps showing up, I think this Rams team will be more spoken about moving forward.
Rightfully so. And speaking of one of the teams that I mentioned, not just in the NFC, but in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is the Rams' next opponent, a big one on Monday night. They have to go up against names such as Ronald Jones, who had a huge game against the Panthers, rushing for almost 200 yards. Chris Godwin is looking effective, coming back from his injury. Mike Evans has been solid all year. Of course, the addition of Antonio Brown and, of course, Rob Gronkowski, and they have to prepare for some guy named TB12, Tom Brady. He's been pretty good for a long, long time. So, Serena, the Rams have a familiarity with Tom Brady. They went up against him in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. It didn't end well, but I think, as you mentioned earlier, the Rams have earned the respect now of a lot of not just teams, but a lot of journalists and fans around the NFL. What is the Rams' game plan defensively going up against someone like Tom Brady?
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they're going to prepare. I mean, you can even use what, you know, the Super Bowl, 2018, They didn't really score. I mean, that was the lowest scoring game of our lives, right? If I'm being a bit sarcastic here, they did silence Tom Brady pretty well. And so I do think that, you know, it will be a testament of more how, yes, the defense can continue to do what they're doing to stop a guy like Tom Brady. And obviously with all of his weapons now and adding Antonio Brown to the mix, that will be a challenge that they'll have to be ready for. But I think it's more of how Jared Goff and the offense can go against a top defense with Tampa Bay. Because I think mostly, right, we're talking so much about, like, you can't ignore TB12, but then, hey, oh, yeah, Tampa Bay also has a great defense. So I think, again, they've sort of had a head-scratcher season where they've lost some games that you're like, wait a minute, hold on, I thought you guys were good, or maybe you're not, I'm not sure. So they're still trying to figure out their identity. And so it'll be, either way, a really exciting Monday Night Football game for sure. But I think on all ends, they really, like, on all three phases, they're going to have to show up. The Rams are not going to have to – they won't be able to sleep on this team.
Definitely, they won't be able to sleep on them. I mentioned earlier on the receiving side, of course, Chris Godwin bouncing back from an injury. He looked good in the last game against Carolina. Mike Evans has been consistent. Mr. Antonio Brown and Mr. Rob Gronkowski, they know Tom very well. I know the linebackers are going to have their hands full. Well, I mean, we know the secondary is going to have their hands full with all of the receivers, but particularly linebackers have a tendency to square off against the tight ends. I mean, Rob Gronkowski is no average tight end. He's still really good, still one of the best in the league. Like you said, they're still trying to find their identity in Tampa. Will there be pressure on the defensive backs, or will there be pressure on linebackers to cover Gronk?
Probably all of the above, right? I mean, I think, you know, the linebacker group heading into the season two was, you know, a lot of younger guys like Micah Kizer. This is his first season starting. You know, I think Joe Barry has done a great job at overseeing the linebackers to get some of these more inexperienced guys ready for a lot of NFL action. Kenny Young, who was actually brought to the Rams during the Jalen Ramsey trade from the Ravens, also getting a lot more experience this season. So it's kind of a young, and then you mentioned Samson Abicom, who's also, you know, had a great season the past few years. That amazing game against the Chiefs 2 years ago in 2018 at the Coliseum, scored two defensive touchdowns in that game. It was incredible. So, I mean, overall, when you're looking at this linebacker group as a whole, you know, there were a lot of question marks. And I think, again, Micah Kizer's done a great job. He got a little dinged up earlier in the season. Kenny Young has done a great job. So the linebackers are starting to, you know, figure themselves out. I think, again, if you have a strong D-line up front, I think Morgan Fox has done a great job. Sebastian Joseph Day has done a great job up front. You're going to see those guys start to splash more. Obviously, Aaron Donald's leadership and being there just makes a difference overall. And then, yeah, opening up the game more for Leonard Floyd. And then Terrell Lewis, who also had two sacks in the game against the Seahawks, drafted from Bama. This guy who had some injuries heading into this season looks pretty healthy, but this guy's big. I mean, if you look up his size, his weight, I mean, he is not a small man playing there. So I think he is someone that's definitely going to make more noise moving forward and has added a lot of depth to the linebacker's position. And so, yeah, I talk a lot about the linebackers, but then in the secondary, I mean, again, the guy wearing the green dot is John Johnson. He's done a tremendous job. Again, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does because, you know, they don't necessarily going to target him, but he's calling all the shots on defense, and I've heard nothing but high praise about what he's been able to do this season. So, again, a lot of depth all over the place and maybe names that people are not familiar with, but, again, that goes up to the leaders with defensive coordinator Brandon Staley and Joe Barry and Sean McVay kind of making sure all places are strong and ready to go, and especially against Tom Brady come Monday night.
Mm-hmm. And then let's switch over now to the offensive side. I mean, some people know, if people don't really know, I mean, people know Aaron and Jalen on the defensive side, and people are still trying to know the other components to the Rams defense, but people know some of the names on the Buccaneers defense. Levante David's been great this year. Devin White's been great. Shaq Barrett, also Ndamukong Suh, and you've got Jason Pierre-Paul, and there's Jamel Dean, and of course there's Antoine Winfield. So Tampa's defense has been one of the best in the league thus far this year. But the Rams' offense has been very effective. They've been consistent. We know what Jared can do, but that running game has been solid. What's the Rams' offensive game plan going to be like coming into Monday night against that tough Bucs defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think they overall will, you know, stick to their guns. Again, I mean, you can kind of see it from the Seahawks. If you wanted to throw the ball, Jared, that was your time to throw the ball everywhere and maybe lean not so much on that run game, but they didn't. They stuck to what they wanted to do and what this identity of the Rams offense moving forward can be. It can be a little bit of both, right? You can get 100 yards on the ground and 300 yards in the air and call yourself a day. They actually, I mean, I think Sean McVay, who's never happy about, you know, fully satisfied, I should say, said that the Rams should have had, you know, 35 points instead of the 23. Like, they definitely should have scored more, and I think that's something that they're going to work on moving forward, and especially knowing that they're going against, as you mentioned, all those notable names on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. But I think overall you'll probably continue seeing a bit of both, and I think you're going to see a lot more of Tyler Higbee and a lot more of Gerald Everett, because those guys have proven themselves that they can handle it, and they've got hands. They're not just, you know, blocking tight ends. They're not just, you know, running the ball. I mean, these guys can make catch like 39-yard receptions, no big deal. So I think you'll see more of them. I think they're going to just kind of see, again, who has the hot hand. But what it excites me is that, you know, a lot of questions were about the run game. Oh, well, if you've got Daryl Henderson going well, then where are you going to use Malcolm Brown? And how are you going to mix Cam Akers into this whole thing? You did it. You've got all three in. Balance, I believe they all rushed for around 30 yards, and they had three rushing touchdowns, so they all got a little bit of the cake, and now they're not as tired, and they all feel like, hey, I added to this win collectively. And I think that's where, you know, the we, not me mentality kind of works, where it's like, hey, if you do your job, we're all going to feel great, and we can be ready for the long haul and hopefully, you know, to get ready for another championship game.
Rightfully so. And speaking of doing your job and doing it effectively, I'm pretty sure you've heard the news that the National Football League for the first time will use an all-black officiating crew for the first time ever on Monday Night Football to officiate the Rams and the Buccaneers game. Just give me your thoughts on how significant that is.
I mean, it's huge, right? Like, I mean, we constantly talk about that there's not enough. I mean, I think collectively there has been sort of, you know, a recognition of the fact that there is a lot of social inequality, not just in the NFL, but around the U.S. and in the world. And for the NFL to finally acknowledge this issue in a more upfront position, and Roger Goodell specifically saying that this is an issue and they're going to work towards fixing it, having an all-black officiated game is, I think, tremendous and shows that, you know, at least the NFL is taking steps in the right direction. I mean, there's so much more work to be done, you know, hiring more coaches of people of color. I know that the Rams actually started a scouting apprenticeship where they are they have 10 black apprentices, two women as well in that group. To help, again, increase visibility, exposure, support to people of color. So it's something that I think is really exciting. I read the news this morning, and, you know, I felt, you know, a lot better about, you know, what is happening behind closed doors that maybe we don't see every day, that there are things that are happening to support the cause.
Rightfully so. I'm definitely proud of it. As you mentioned earlier, the NFL continuing to make steps forward into the right direction. And definitely this is something groundbreaking. We'll check out on Monday night. All right, Serena, lighthearted question for you. I've seen the Rams games on television this year at SoFi Stadium. That stadium is gorgeous. But can you tell the listeners out there just the beauty of it? Because the last time I had you on the show, they were in the process of constructing it, and it was almost done. So just tell the audience out there just how magnificent that stadium is.
Oh, man, I'm about to make all of you very jealous. But, you know, there is not a bad spot in SoFi. It is it really is beautiful, which is hilarious because we use beautiful for, like, wow, that was a beautiful plate of whatever. Like, you describe food as beautiful, or someone's face as beautiful, or an animal or nature, right? But this is a wonder of the United States and a wonder of the world. I mean, what they've made of SoFi Stadium, and I'll say it, it's not just the stadium itself, but Hollywood Park as a whole. I mean, there's a park in there. And, you know, the plan moving forward with having stores and restaurants and all sorts of things like apartment complexes. I mean, you will have yourself a day. You can spend the entire day at SoFi. If you flew in, it's right by LAX. Go to SoFi, go shopping, go to the game, and then take the last flight out right there. I mean, you could really never leave that area. And I'm so excited for Inglewood. I'm excited for fans to finally see it. The video board is enormous. It is so impressive. I can't get enough of it. Sometimes up in the press box, I stare at the video board instead of the field, and I'm like, this is so weird. I would normally not do that. But it's just beyond impressive to see that. The sound, you know, walking around. I mean, it's the seats are comfortable, you know, like everything was thought with care. And you can walk around. You actually enter through the sixth level. So you never really feel like, oh, I've gone too high. Like everything, like I feel like if I was on the top floor on the eighth level and I screamed down to the field, I feel like Jared Goff could hear me. Not that he would want to, but I feel like he could. So it feels like I cannot wait once we work through the pandemic. Obviously, for safety, we want everyone to stay home and wear your mask and all those good things. But, you know, we're taking safety first here with the Rams. But I cannot wait. You know, when things clear up and fans can see it, I mean, they will not stare at the video board either. I'm sure they won't even watch the game. They'll be like, I'm just going to stare at this thing instead.
Yeah, yeah. And just looking at it, man, it just looks fantastic. And it's going to be a sight to see whenever fans can get there, as you said, when the pandemic winds down and people can get back. With you being in the press box, what dining options are available?
So they haven't opened up the dining options for all of the press yet. We get, like, some of the SoFi catering, which is, you know, pretty solid, actually, compared to other stadiums, although I haven't traveled for a year now. But I will say they're going to have – I mean, they're basically for fans, and I know for the press moving forward, once things get a little more normalized, they're featuring – chefs from around LA. I mean, they'll have tacos, which obviously is a California staple. Got to have your tacos. They'll have all the foods from different parts of Los Angeles and some of the chefs that have popular restaurants in LA. Those will be featured in SoFi Stadium for fans to eat and enjoy. So really exciting stuff.
Oh, man, that's awesome to hear. Well, one last question before we let you go. What's your takeaway from being at the Coliseum, the things that you miss and the things that you're not going to miss?
So I will not miss the three-second delay of sound because when I host the in-game entertainment for the most part and a pregame show on the video board, and the three-second delay, if you're talking out loud, it's very difficult to hear your voice come back to you while you're trying to speak at the same time. It's sort of like, you know, when you're taking down a number and someone's being annoying and they start reading off other numbers to you and you're like, I can't focus. That's pretty much the experience that I used to get working at the Coliseum. I know they're working on things and their upgrades have been amazing. So overall, you know, I will miss the Coliseum and it's like quaint, old school feel. I love their upgrades. I mean, oh man, great place to just, you know, sort of nostalgic and all the history there and all of those things, the fans. I mean, you just knowing you share a stadium with USC as well. And, you know, Joe Barry, the head coach, assistant head coach and linebackers coach, you know, he played at USC. Like, you know, there's sort of that like home feel, like I'm thick in the middle of LA. But I will say that, you know, I think it's actually really cool that the Rams went from there into their own home, into SoFi. So it was like, hey, kind of like, you know, when you move to a new city and you might stay with a friend for a couple weeks or a month before you move into your apartment because you got to do some apartment searching. You want to check out, you know, different areas and see what's right. So you're always going to appreciate your friend for letting you crash on their couch. But then once you can, like, sleep in your own bed, like, oh, that feels so much better. I think that's how I would describe this experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And as you mentioned, the Coliseum, so many great memories, and it's definitely going to hold a place in the heart for our Rams fans. And definitely SoFi is going to hold some great memories for years and decades to come for fans. Well, Serena, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just quickly, where can they find you on social media, the Rams? And if you have a website, let them know that as well.
Yeah, sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Serina, S-A-R-I-N-A. And I'm on Instagram at Morales, Morales. And that's about it. I'm at a Twitter, which now has stories, which is going to throw everyone else off near you. So Twitter and Instagram is where I'm at. And you can check a lot of my stuff out also on therams.com.
You heard it from her. She's Serena Morales. She is the team reporter for the Los Angeles Rams. Don't forget to check out the Rams in action against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football on ESPN. Serena, thank you so much once again. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thanks again. And we'll be back with more right after this.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high-interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings rates and quick loans, internal data, license fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing letter, license in all 50 states, and LSConsumerAccess.org, number 330.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Shotgun. Murray, out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray, he's it downfield.
When you start running those combination coverages like that, sometimes you board a zone like they just did.
Here's a bobble on the toss by Collins, and he lost a yard.
I know that McVay, like most people, when they bring the blitz, hey, we've got to be able to take advantage of that. Instead, they've had too many bad plays.
Wilson steps up, throws, end zone, picked off.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Los Angeles Rams team reporter Serena Morales for being on the program, talking about the Rams win against the Seahawks and, of course, the upcoming game Monday night against the Buccaneers. And that audio that you heard was courtesy of CBS Sports and Fox Sports in the National Football League. And I played those highlights because it features tonight's Thursday night matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. You talk about compare and contrast of these two teams of how their Week 10s went. First of all, Week 10 was miraculous for the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, with 7 seconds left in the game, throws the game-winning touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins. And I tell you what, in only in his second year in the league, Kyler Murray should be, I hope he is, he should be in the MVP talk. Kyler played an effective game, not only getting it done running the ball with his athletic ability, but he's got an amazing arm, a terrific arm, and certainly he's getting a great support from the running game with Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds, of course, DeAndre Hopkins, the cagey veteran himself, Larry Fitzgerald, and, of course, the speedy receiver and Christian Kirk. So Arizona, they're riding a high right now. The Cardinals are playing extremely well, and as Arizona's riding a high, Seattle has been riding a low right now. They've lost two in a row, and the Seahawks, this is a sense of urgency. This is a big game for them. The highlight that I played earlier was the Seahawks losing to the Los Angeles Rams, a division rival in the NFC West, and now they have to play another division rival in tonight's game against the Arizona Cardinals. Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate. We know what caliber, we know what pedigree he's made out of, and certainly he's bringing it tonight. And certainly we saw the running game blossom with Alex Collins. DJ Dallas has been effective. From what we know right now, Carlos Hyde is not expected to play in tonight's game. Chris Carson is expected to be out. So, again, this is Russell Wilson's team. Russell, it begins and ends with him now. It was only yesterday when the Seahawks had Beast Mode and the Legion of Boom. Those days have come and gone. It's Russell Wilson's team, and he's the leader of this team, and they're going to depend on him to do a whole lot in tonight's game against a Cardinal defense that's been really good as of late. Buda Baker, Patrick Peterson, and then the host of others that have been great on the Cardinal squad. So Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson tonight's game, Cardinals and Seahawks, will be an exciting game. And the next game that we have is going to be between the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. Both teams lost in last week. The Titans lost on last Thursday night to the Indianapolis Colts. The Baltimore Ravens lost a close one last Sunday night against the New England Patriots. So these are big games for the Titans and the Ravens. Tennessee is chasing Indianapolis right now for the AFC South title. Baltimore, they're chasing Pittsburgh in the AFC North, and both teams are jockeying for position in terms of top spots, top positions in the AFC. Ryan Tannehill didn't play a great game last week. Derrick Henry had a Derrick Henry-type performance, rushing for over 100 yards. Baltimore, they're still trying to work out the kinks with Dez Bryant, a member of the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson's going to be ready. And Baltimore's defense is going to be ready as well. They've got to step it up even more against a team that has one of the best rush offenses in the league in Tennessee. So this is going to be a great game. It's a hard-hitting game. I don't expect this game to be high scoring. This is going to be built primarily on running game and defense. I don't think the quarterbacks are going to do too much in this game. That's just my opinion. But this is a rematch of last year's playoff game when Tennessee came into Baltimore and did damage. Derrick Henry just ran roughshod on the Baltimore defense. This should be an exciting game. The next game that we have is the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Cleveland Browns. Philadelphia embarrassed by division rival last week in the New York Giants. Carson Wentz, there's an APB being called out on him. Wentz has not played well. There have been reports of people saying he's doing way too much. They're not getting any consistency out of the running game. There are reports that Jalen Hurts could see more action. Carson Wentz has not been the same since the 2017 season, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And there's definitely reports out on him that maybe he got the contract extension too early, things of that nature. But the Eagles are still atop of the NFC East. They still have a chance to supplant their submit their standing on winning the NFC East, but they've got to go to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Cleveland defensively showed up, played well against the Houston Texans. Cleveland's running the ball well. I'm loving the likes of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And definitely the Browns are playing well. No Odell Beckham, but Jarvis Landry has stepped up nicely. Austin Hooper's played well. This is going to be a very tight game in the land between the Eagles and the Browns. Should be a fun one. What we thought in this next matchup is an NFC South classic matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. Every year we look forward to Matt Ryan going up against Drew Brees. Well, this year that's not going to be the case because now New Orleans, in a major turn of events last week, they did beat the San Francisco 49ers 27-13. However, Drew Brees suffered a major injury, fracturing three ribs on his left side, two on his right side, also has a collapsed lung. Now, there are numerous sources saying that the injury it could be worse because he may have fractured more ribs. More details are going to come out as they become available. But nevertheless, Drew will not be playing in this game. So in comes famous Jameis Winston, who was the league's leading passer last year. But he also led the league in interceptions thrown last year. And they're going to need – the Saints offense is going to have him step up. We're going to see a daily dose of Taysom Hill. And how about the Atlanta Falcons? The Falcons are 3-6, but the Falcons are getting on a hot streak. And they took their bye week at the right time because they had the bye week being on a winning streak. So Matt Ryan's played well lately. Todd Gurley's picked it up, Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Defensively, Atlanta's been solid. We know during the Matt Ryan era, they've never been known for being a great defensive team, but nevertheless, the Falcons get the job done. So Falcons and Saints is always exciting. This one is definitely going to go down to the wire, down in the Big Easy. Next game is going to be an exciting one between two great young quarterbacks, Tua Tagovailoa going up against Drew Lock with the Miami Dolphins and the Denver Broncos at the Invesco at Mile High. So this is going to be a great game. Denver was embarrassed by the Las Vegas Raiders. Meanwhile, Miami's on a winning streak right now. They handled their business having an impressive win over the Los Angeles Chargers in a good game against a young quarterback on the rise in Justin Herbert. So Miami and Denver is going to be a great game. It's always fun when you have those late games with in Denver against the Broncos. And definitely, I think Tua is going to show up. No Von Miller this year for the Broncos defense. I expect Tua to have another fantastic game. Should be exciting between between the Dolphins and the Broncos. Great game in Indianapolis between the Green Bay Packers and the Indianapolis Colts. First of all, Green Bay had a tough, close win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Aaron Rodgers came back strong, a couple of touchdown passes, had a rushing touchdown himself. So Green Bay still finding their stride offensively, defensively. They've kind of slipped up a bit. They're still one of the premier teams, not just in the NFC, but in the NFL, but they've been slipping a little bit defensively. And I know the Indianapolis Colts, again, one of those underrated teams in the league this year. They play in the AFC South. They've been effective, but no one has really paid much attention to them. But they paid a lot of attention to their quarterback, and that's Phillip Rivers. He's played well. He's been outstanding. Also, the running game's been great as of late. Last Thursday night, Nyheim Hines had his breakout game. He played well defensively. The Colts have been good with the likes of Darius Leonard. So certainly this is going to be a fantastic game between two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks with Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers. Can't wait for this one. Sunday night matchup. This is going to be a great game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Las Vegas Raiders in a classic AFC West rivalry. This is going to be the Raiders' first Sunday night football game at the new stadium. They were supposed to have it a few weeks ago, but due to COVID restrictions, several Raider players behind them now. So we got to have a great one between the Chiefs and the Raiders. The Raiders put a beat down on the Broncos last week. And as for the Chiefs, they're coming off of the bye week. They're refreshed. They're ready to go. Patrick Mahomes is going to be ready. Tyreek Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Also, you've got Travis Kelce. And just all of the Kansas City Chiefs players are going to be riding high. And certainly Andy Reid, congratulations to him. He received a 5-year contract extension. So we know that for the next 5 years, the Chiefs are going to be set be on the course, to be on a success, continuing stride of winning games and possibly winning more Super Bowls under the Andy Reid administration. As for the Raiders, again, Derek Carr's played nicely. Josh Jacobs, how about him? Jacobs is running the ball effectively this year. And, of course, nice receivers, particularly with the tight end Darren Waller. So this is going to be a great game Sunday night with the Chiefs and the Raiders. And Monday night, this is going to be a great one, as I mentioned with the interview that you heard earlier with Serena Morales, who is the team reporter for the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams and the Buccaneers on Monday night. The Rams shut down Russell Wilson in that Seattle offense. Rams defense was great. Offensively, Rams were consistent. Jared Goff made enough plays to get the job done. The running back by committee was outstanding for L.A. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay, they got embarrassed a week ago by New Orleans. They weren't embarrassed as they put that loss behind them real quickly and took care of their business, beating the Carolina Panthers. So Monday night is going to be great. We got Jared Goff going up against Tom Brady. The Rams definitely, they know Tom Brady. They know his pedigree. 2 years ago, they played against him when he was the quarterback of the Patriots in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. So I know the Rams defense are going to be licking their chops and getting an opportunity to get to Tom Brady and this new Buccaneers offense with Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, also Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. You can't forget about Ronald Jones, who's been running the ball effectively. All right, coming up next, I have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson, and stay tuned. You're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
When I was in high school, I was physically at school, but my mind wasn't at school. I had problems at home, and that's hard when you feel like you're doing it alone. That's when I met Narnese, my mom, as I'll call her. She started helping me a little bit, like, Mia, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but your future is more important. She's my strength. Just being a support for those hard days and those hard nights, not giving up on me. Thank you to my mama. All when it did this, if it wasn't for her. Today is for my mama and everybody who had my back. It takes a village to help somebody get their diploma. Some people think, well, maybe it's really not that big of a deal, but it really is. Changes your whole life.
Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org.
Get it. Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it. Get it.
Get it.
Get it. Is she gonna get it, Daddy?
She'll get it.
Get it. Get it.
When you bring home a Goodwill fine, you give your whole town a reason to celebrate because you're also funding local job training and placement programs in tech, healthcare, and more. Goodwill. Bring good home.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's now the time for the segment called Game of the Week. My game of the week this week is a no-brainer. The Arizona Cardinals going up against the Seattle Seahawks. These two teams have been great this year. What's been great has been the quarterback play, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. It's hard to believe Russell Wilson is in his ninth year in the National Football League, and he's never received an MVP vote. He's never been considered for a vote in the MVP race. Russell Wilson has been outstanding, not just with his athletic ability, but with his arm. He's been fantastic. He's clicked on all cylinders. Yeah, his team, they've been on a losing streak as of late, but if this is a critical moment and if there's a sense of urgency, that anybody that's going to operate with a sense of urgency, it's going to be Russell Wilson. Not just Russell Wilson, but the rest of his offense as well. They've been running the ball effectively with DJ Dallas. Also, you've got Alex Collins, and the receiving core with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, David Moore, and then some nice tight ends with Greg Olsen and Will Disley. Defensively, Seattle, let's be real, the Legion of Boom is gone. There's no more Legion of Boom. Defensively, Seattle hasn't been at their best this year, but they do have Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright that have been able to make plays for the most part and have had to carry the load for the Seahawks defense. So while Seattle has played well, but lately they've been slipping, but they're not operating with a sense of urgency, because this is a make-or-break game for them in the NFC West. They've got to go up against, once again, the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray. Last time these two teams met was several weeks ago. It went to a thrilling overtime game on Sunday night. Arizona would go on to win that game. Now, Kyler Murray definitely should be considered for both MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. He's played terrific. Not only has he played terrific, but also you've got to look at Kenyon Drake. Chase Edmonds has been great. Also, you have to look at Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins. Man, what a steal he was. It was probably the best offseason move in the free agency period. Well, of course, Bill O'Brien. I know Arizona Cardinal fans are thanking the Houston Texans and are thanking Bill O'Brien for making that transaction, because he has been such a steal for the Arizona Cardinals in that passing attack. Defensively, Arizona's picked up nicely with the likes of Buda Baker and Patrick Peterson and a host of others. This is going to be a fantastic game tonight, Thursday Night Football in the Pacific Northwest, between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks, a classic NFC West battle. I hope you're looking forward to it. I know I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Should be exciting. Two dynamic quarterbacks with Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and a host of others. It's going to be great. When I come back from the break, we'll wrap it up with this week's picks of the most important games. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. It is Tom.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, now it's time for my picks for this week's most important games in Week 11. I'm going to start off with tonight's game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks, my game of the week. This is going to be a great game. It's going to come down to the wire. I think Seattle will bounce back. I like the Seahawks to beat the Cardinals. For the Tennessee Titans and Baltimore Ravens game, I like the Titans to beat the Ravens. For the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns, I like the Browns to beat the Eagles in a close one. A great game down in New Orleans between the Falcons and the Saints. I think Jameis Winston is going to play well. Taysom Hill will have his sprinkles of success. But for some reason, I like Atlanta to pull off the upset. I like the Falcons to win by a last-second field goal. The Miami Dolphins going up against the Denver Broncos. I like the Dolphins to beat the Broncos. Great game up in the Midwest between the Green Bay Packers and the Indianapolis Colts. Quarterback shootout between Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers, but I like the Packers to beat the Colts. Sunday night, Chiefs-Raiders, going to be a great game out in Viva Las Vegas. I like the Chiefs to win that game. And Monday night, Rams and the Buccaneers, it's going to be a close game. But I like the Rams to win, at least by a touchdown. I think the Rams are going to go march down to Tampa, handle their business. I think it's going to be a great game, but the Rams will beat the Buccaneers on Monday night. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of NFL Rap. wrap up, once again, we'd like to send a big special thank you to Los Angeles Rams team reporter Serena Morales for coming on the program, talking about the Rams game against the Seahawks and also the upcoming Monday night game against the Buccaneers. She always has great insight, and thanks once again for her coming back on the program. So for all of you listeners out there, thank you so much for supporting and continuing to support. I'm Ed Robinson, and you've been listening to the NFL Wrap-Up. But we're going to leave you now with audio courtesy of CBS Sports. This was certainly the highlight of the week from Week 10. Kyler Murray throwing the game-winning Hail Mary touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. Until next week, so long, everyone.
Shotgun. Murray out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray heaves it downfield. Miraculous!